How have you seen your central business district, the CBD, change during this pandemic? Are some of those changes, in fact, worth retaining from your perspective? And should our city centres function differently into the future? They're some of the questions we're asking of you today, and you can leave a comment on our Facebook page. Dr. Libby Sander is with me as well to talk this through. Libby's an assistant professor of organisational behaviour at Bond University. Libby, welcome back to Life Matters.
Hi, Michael. Lovely to be with you.
Libby, since the COVID-19 shutdowns, almost half of the people working in this country have spent time working from home. And when you have that kind of mass move to that kind of focal point, what does that mean for the long-term future, do you believe, of the CBD as a destination for work and business?
I think what we've seen is that, you know, we suddenly saw people can actually work from home. And we've been talking about this for decades and we've been sort of experimenting with it, but not many people saw that it could suddenly happen overnight. And because it's gone on for some time now, people have started to question, how am I living? How am I working? Do I need to commute every day? And the results of that from both business and from individuals is we don't need to go into the office every day. Maybe it's one or two days a week. So I think that's going to fundamentally change what the landscape looks like in terms of the CBD head office and, you know, how often we go there.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it takes a certain period of time to embed change in our behaviour. And that period of time has certainly been well embedded during this pandemic lockdown and restrictions, depending on where you live. I take it too that when it comes to returning to office, if you say it might be part-time, that still means spaces need to be available.
That's right. So, you know, we have some organisations now who are saying, look, don't come back until next year. We've got companies like Twitter and others saying, don't ever come back at all if you don't want to. So, you know, some people think that's lovely. But there are benefits, obviously, to coming to the office. So, but, you know, some people are bringing in teams on various days. So they do have that benefit of, you know, interaction and collaboration and things that lead to innovation. So, yes, we do need space, but perhaps we don't need as much space and we don't need the same type of space that we've had before.
So how could that space change as a working place?
So I think what a lot of companies are talking about is something that has been mooted for a while, which is this hub and spoke model. So rather than having everyone come into this one destination in the middle of the city and all the problems that come with that, with commuting and getting everyone there at the same time, that we have a smaller head office and then, you know, perhaps satellite offices in, you know, outlying areas or regional areas, or people can use co-working spaces so that they can get out of the house and have that human interaction. But the head office itself will be much smaller.
So in those cities and CBDs around the globe where restrictions were lifted faster than perhaps places like Melbourne or parts of Victoria, have we seen a return to normal in any shape or form, or have those numbers of commuters kept down, have the peak hours kept down, have office spaces been more vacant?
Look, on the whole, they have certainly stayed, very much vacant. And it's been interesting because I think we initially thought everyone's going to be desperate to go back to the office, to have their coffee, to, you know, get back into the routine. And, you know, that hasn't happened. And yes, part of that in some places is because of people's concern about the pandemic. But a lot of it is this change to go, well, actually, this was very stressful the way we were living. It wasn't actually working that well. So in places like London, people haven't gone back to work. In Sydney, you know, before the second sort of wave that we've had, people weren't going back into the city, into the office. And so I think it surprised a lot of people that that desire to go back just isn't there.
You mentioned the hub and spoke model as being one of the, you know, possible outcomes from all this. So if we're going to see more regional based spaces for those people who want to work together, you know, sporadically during the week and maybe spend more time at home, occasionally going into the CBD and head office to confer over various planning issues or organisation issues, that is going to radically change, is it not, the kinds of working behaviours across CBDs, not only in this country, but around the globe?
Absolutely. And already we're having discussions, you know, hearing that people are saying, well, look, if I only have to come to the office one day a week, then perhaps I can live, you know, for example, in New South Wales, I might move to the Blue Mountains, I might move to Orange. I don't need to live in a very tiny place that's all I can afford in the middle of the CBD. And residential housing is going to change as well. Instead of, you know, having no office at home or just a small desk or the kitchen table, that we might see one or more designated, you know, workspaces or offices at home to cater for people working from home. So, you know, that landscape of the inner city is probably going to look very different.
So I want to talk about the future of what our CBDs will look like. But in the meantime, if all this comes to pass, doesn't that mean great news for our regions, which have so struggled in retaining populations in some cases around Australia?
I think so, definitely. When you have an event like we've had with a 1 in 100 year pandemic, people have started to question, look, is it worth the way I was living? Is it worth paying this huge mortgage? Is it worth only seeing my partner or my kids for half an hour a day? And actually, what else could we do and what could we do differently? So I think there are going to be, you know, a lot of benefits that hadn't been foreseen in terms of this shift.
On the downside, Libby, for CBDs that have relied on foot traffic, commuters, cars, public transport to fund and improve prosperity for businesses, that's going to need a radical rethink as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, what do we do with, you know, all of these office buildings if they're going to be partially empty? You've got Facebook with 433,000 square feet of their new office space. You know, it's completely empty at the moment. So, you know, companies are handing back entire floors of buildings. And so what are we going to do with that? So obviously that is a concern both for the real estate infrastructure itself, but also the businesses that do rely on that and whether we see a conversion to housing, to creative ventures and opportunities that perhaps couldn't have been supported in the previous model, but it is going to need a big rethink.
We're talking here about the possible radical changes in the way we view and use our CBDs around the country in the wake of COVID-19. My guest is Dr. Libby Sander. She's an assistant professor of organisational behaviour at Bond University. And I'd very much like to hear from you as well. As someone who might have commuted into a CBD in times gone by, maybe working from home more now if you have a job that still exists, which is great, of course, for those of us who do, then what's going to happen for you? Do you see yourself working more regionally where you live day to day? Would you be happy to spend more time at home rather than going into a central office space? Or do you miss colleagues? What would you like to see happen to the centre of our cities around the country post-pandemic? If you'd like to join us on that, you can leave a comment on our Facebook page. Just look for RN Life Matters, and we'll be reading out some of your comments later on. With Libby Sander and myself is another guest as well. Dr. Catherine Davidson is a senior lecturer in urban planning at the University of Melbourne. Catherine, hello.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for having me today.
Catherine, do you echo Libby's sort of viewpoints on where we might be in the future when it comes to the future purposes of CBD?
Yes, I do. I agree with what Libby has spoken about today. I think our landscape of our cities has fundamentally changed, and I think working arrangements that were embedded within our built environment within our cities, of course, are facing significant change as we move forward. So we've been asking for quite some time for flexible work arrangements. We were forced, I suppose, into working from home, and we've shown that we can actually do it. So I think that change is here to stay.
What about human connection? Libby mentioned there, of course, that we need to keep and maintain working relationships. It's part of who we are when we go to work. So how do we maintain relationships if we're at a distance?
Yeah, sure. I think that is a big challenge. I think as we start to hopefully, I suppose for Victoria to come out of our lockdown and slowly return to some new normal, of course, that's is a fair way off. We don't know what that really looks like. I do think that companies or universities will want staff back into the office if you're full-time, for a couple of days a week, because we all know that human connection is really important and, you know, around different sharing of ideas and driving innovations. I think it is really important that that we do have some form of physical return to our workspace. But, of course, that's going to look different as well. I mean, it raises lots of different questions. How do we get into work? What do those workspaces look like? How do those workplaces make us feel safe to return to work, but then for us to feel safe as well within those spaces when we're out at work? Particularly in environments where there is a lot of movements, like universities with students and staff, how are those workplaces going to make us feel safe while we're at work? But how are we going to get to work as well?
As you were talking about that, you mentioned universities, Catherine, and that got me thinking that we may not see the re-emergence of international students arriving in this country for some time to come. I'm talking here about not only months, but perhaps years. That changes radically, does it not, the face of CBD life in so many of our cities where universities are based?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a real loss to our cities, and I do hope that we can do something. There was a trial that was going to happen in universities in Adelaide. My understanding is that's not going to happen. I'm hopeful that some form of return of international students may be able to happen, but we don't know. You're right, and it will change our CBDs. Particularly, we're talking about, you've mentioned today, office blocks in CBDs. We know that a lot of our students as well lived in CBDs. There was a lot of student housing. There was a lot of eating places all set up for which our students utilised. So it is a fundamental change as well if international students don't return to our cities in the medium term.
I want to get into what options we may face in the future in terms of repurposing the buildings we have. But before we get to that, Libby Sander, only yesterday the Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews announced a plan worth tens of millions of dollars to open bars and restaurants over summer based on New York's open restaurant scheme. This is where they close off some roads to traffic and essentially have outside seating arrangements that spread out over the roads so people have enough space outdoors to eat and talk and essentially, you know, converse and socialise. Do you think that is going to be a saving grace in a place like Melbourne or Brisbane or Sydney? Is that going to work for us?
I think it certainly could. We have a number of sort of reasons pointing towards that. You know, it has worked in New York. Australians are very social people. We have fantastic weather. We can go outside pretty much every day of the year. And, you know, we certainly enjoy, you know, our food culture, particularly in a place like Melbourne. And so I think most people are talking about, look, I missed going for coffee. I missed just being able to, you know, and get something to eat. And people are wanting to support restaurants here. When you talk to people on the street, when you talk to people at work, they're very much wanting to support those businesses that are going through pain. So I do think that that is a good initiative.
Catherine, can I come back to you on that as well and just ask you, I mean, given that we are working more from home than we have ever in our lives, would we see going into a CBD to have lunch or dinner with friends or loved ones as a trip worth making? Or would we rather do that social outdoor eating experience near where we live?
Yeah, I agree. It raises quite a few different questions. I think it's how do you get in there? And I think we need to think about people's modes of transport now moving forward. So we know with public transport that it is difficult to maintain social distancing. So what other options are available? So with many cities around the world, we've seen bike lanes, for example, been upscaled. So London and Toronto, they've closed streets, they've put up pop-up bike lanes. And this also helps in particular in cities like Melbourne, where we've had overcrowding of parks as well. So if we can start to close some streets in the medium term to maybe put up some pop-up bike lanes or to instigate new tracks as well, I think we do need to innovatively think about how are we going to get people around the cities. And that's not only just into the CBD, but as you also mentioned, people may be more comfortable staying in the suburbs. So how are we going to get people around the suburbs as well, feeling safe as well? So I think it's the CBD and suburbs, and it's the interlinkages between the two. And it is different. It's different. It is different now as we hopefully move into recovery.
Well, as we converse, we're getting some comments on text. Jody says, Newcastle is a good example of people changing habits of using the suburbs rather than the CBD. After the earthquake, the CBD was closed for years. The suburbs developed with shops, cafes, etc., and people got used to it. The CBD of Newcastle is still a virtual ghost town, says Jody. I love working from home, she says, and I'm making my soy cappuccinos at home. So that's what she's doing, and that might reflect some other people's views, which we'll get to in a moment. Let's talk about some options now. Libby Sander, if we're going to have literally thousands of square metres of empty office space because of what you call that hub and spoke model, what should we be using this space more effectively for in a way that is going to enhance our CBD existence?
Yeah, I think that's the big question, isn't it, Michael? Because we've had such a thought for such a long time about making more office space and more office space. And so, you know, some of the conversations at the moment are certainly around different types of housing, more accessible housing, more accessible space for creatives to try and reinvigorate, you know, that creative side of the world that has suffered a lot, you know, theatre and other aspects during the pandemic. But also people starting new businesses. I think a lot more people will want to do that. But it's a really open question. It's a lot of space and, you know, we don't have clear answers for that yet.
Well, I'm just wondering, do you think, and Catherine, I might ask you about this, if we see office space being sort of in excess, in surplus, does that mean that real estate values for that space plummet, which means it becomes more affordable, then people start thinking about converting that to a place they want to call home, then the prices go up again. So we have this sort of plummeting, fluctuation, rising, and that can continue apace over time.
Oh, well, I think at the moment anything's possible. I think what we need to also put in place as well, so different planning laws can respond quickly as well to allow different changes to happen as well. So it is the big question, what will happen with our office place spaces. Subletting could happen in a variety of different ways from the art and culture, as Libby mentioned. But again, we're still faced with the similar issues. How do people get into work? Do people feel safe going into the different high-rise buildings, you know, and using lifts and all those different sort of more confined spaces that we generally do find within CBD environments? So,
and do you think city councils are cognizant of some of the challenges they face?
I think, or in Melbourne, I think the city of Melbourne is, from what I can understand, is really trying to think outside the square and think about how are we going to reinvigorate our CBDs, because I mean, that's essentially to keep the City of Melbourne has, of course, a very invested interest within that. So I think they are really, really trying to work out what is going to happen once we all come out of lockdown.
Yes, indeed. Look, there's so much there that is still open, so uncertain. But I think we all agree that whatever's going to happen, CBDs will not be what they were pre-pandemic. So let's see what goes on in that space. Libby Sander, Catherine Davidson, it's been great to speak to both of you. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Libby Sander, Assistant Professor of Organisational Behaviour at Bond University. Catherine Davidson, Senior Lecturer in Urban Planning at the University of Melbourne. Perhaps some of these spaces will become social housing if we get that kind of infrastructure impetus. Green spaces, maybe some of the tops of our office blocks will become market gardens. There's so much to think about there. Let's hear what you're saying. The pandemic, says one texter, has actually made me yearn for the community and the culture of the inner city more. Mary says on text, I live in Brisbane. Since March, the city has not felt as safe once dusk falls. So I think safety is an important factor in returning to how we used to use the city previously. Bus platforms are almost empty, so how do we ensure personal safety? And finally from Simon, and we'll have more of your texts later, but Simon says, fix the NBN as fibre to the premises to decentralise work and repurpose city buildings for public housing and housing the homeless.